If you will, turn to Ruth chapter 2. Let's stand together and read with me, and we'll start reading with verse number 15. We're going to go back and get some of the other verses in another lesson, but tonight we're going to verse 15, and we'll read down a little bit. He said in verse 15 of Ruth chapter 2, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let her fall, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, tonight give us wisdom and understanding. Give us something from heaven. Father, I pray you to spread the table for us. Lord, we put our feet under your table. I pray tonight, dear God, that you'd bless us. And Lord, give us a portion that we need to carry us in a journey. As we travel through this walk of life, I pray, God, we get enough tonight to strengthen and to encourage us, Lord, to keep us going for the glory of God, that your name might be praised, your name might be lifted, your name might be exalted in our lives. Dear God, help us to seek you with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, and to walk after you, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and glory and honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Now, I want to look at this tonight. We're going to give a little thought for of good news from the field of grace. We can name it that if you want to, or we can say the good news from a Moabite woman. And so we look at these things. We'll just look at it from the field of grace. That's what's happened here. And I'll give you some things that Ruth is a type of, and you know some of them. I've gone over them, but I'll give you a little bit more to seek in and look at tonight. May God bless you for it. First of all, Ruth is a type of a lost person that was down in Moab, lost and undone, knowing not God, having no part of God, and now coming to Bethlehem and getting in by the grace of God. She's a type of a sinner that's been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And that was a type of any of the sinners. Amen. Regardless of where they're from, any country, any nation. But we see tonight, first of all, she's a type of a born-again believer that's been changed by the grace of God out of a world of sin. Number two, she's a type of a Gentile believer. How that she gets grafted in. Now, we know tonight that we're Jews. Gentiles. We've been grafted in because the Jews have rejected Jesus, right? So we've been grafted in. So she's a type of the church, in the sense that she's been grafted in and the Gentile bride and so forth, and that's what we are. Thirdly, she's a type of a Christian that's separated and obedient unto the Master. Now these are the things that we're going to deal with tonight, and I pray tonight God will help us as we look at these things. Here's a thought as we look in the Word of God, how that we fail in this part. And we want to point out some things about Ruth that should be in correspondence to you and me tonight, or correspond to us. Now, she's a type of an obedient, separated Christian, a child of God that's obedient, and a child of God that is separated from the world. You got to remember that. She's been in one field. She's in the field of Boaz. She's not just gleaning everywhere. She's not just going anywhere. She's in Boaz's field, and she's separated herself unto that, and she's obedient unto Boaz. Hey, it's important that we be obedient to the Master. Amen. And then another thing, she's a type of a Christian tonight that's living to the fullest and getting all she can get from the throne of God. Amen. Now that's where we need to be. Now, I'm afraid tonight that we miss the mark and we don't get where we need to be. Now, have you ever wondered why some Christians seem to be blessed more than others? Have you ever wondered why everything some folks do seem like God just puts His hand on them and He just adds to it, He multiplies it, He blesses, and seem like everything they do, God just honors every single thing. Have you ever seen that? And you wonder why God don't put His hand on you. And sometimes we have a pity party because God don't bless us like He's blessing somebody across the aisle or somebody else that we know is a Christian. Amen. Now I want you to know God wants to bless you to the fullest. God is not set up in glory. I said tonight I'm going to bless one more than I bless another because I just want to. Brother, there's a reason why you're blessed or not blessed. Amen. Now I'll tell you what, you meet the requirements tonight and God will bless you. Now, let me say this. You said, well, I see people gets everything. God blesses them and every single thing they do. And then I turn around and see somebody else that don't have nothing. And why in the world? Listen, that don't have anything to do with the spiritual welfare in their life. Some of those people don't have a penny to their name. Probably can do more for God than those folks. And I have seen people that didn't have nothing do plenty for God that people had money couldn't do and wouldn't do. Amen? And I've seen people that's got good health. Squander what they got and throw it away. And I've seen people that's been sick and afflicted and you wonder why God blesses them but everything they do is blessed. They can't do it to what somebody else can do, but they're blessed. Amen. But just because you say, well, I got bad health and I can't do this like everybody else can, and we get down in the mouth. Listen, whatever position you're in tonight, get rid of that junk in your life where you feel sorry for yourself and feel bad for it, and do what you can do for the glory of God to the best of your ability, and I'll guarantee you that heaven will open up on your soul, and God will bless you, and you'll be stirred beyond measure, and God will give you and do for you more than you can see fit. Amen. The reason God can't bless you now, you're griping too much, whining too much, pouting too much. Amen. You said, well, I stuck my toe, I can't do nothing for God. Amen. All right. Just set that way if you want to. Best thing you do, get you a stick and start walking and hopping and go on for God. Do it with the best of your ability. Amen. Now I want to look at some things tonight about Ruth and about Boaz here. And I want to apply this to my life and your life and find out and look at these things and see. Do you believe tonight God's a respecter of persons? No, He's not. Do you believe tonight that God says that He is no respecter of persons? That means tonight that God cares as much for you as He does me. That means He cares as much for somebody else as He does us. That means tonight that God will do for you what He'd do for somebody else if we find ourselves where God can use us. There's a lot of limitations we put on God. The reason we can't do some things is because God has put His hand against us simply because we've been against Him. And so I'm saying tonight, let's just find our place. Amen. Somebody said, I can't do nothing. You never will. Amen. I've used this illustration a lot of times. My mother-in-law, she was one of the world's worst of saying, I can't. I'd say something, well, I can't. Amen. And I've heard some of you folks say, I can't. Amen. Well, the thing is, you might not can right now. But if you don't never try, you never will. If you don't ever get started, you never will get nothing done. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in my life. If I had never started, I'd never got involved in it. I'd have not known anything about it, but it's because I got involved in it and I scared to death when I done it, but God helped me. Amen. Yes, He did. All right. Let's look at some things about Ruth now. First of all, we're talking about good news from the field of grace. And here's this woman giving something. I want to say to you tonight that out of the field of grace, we can find satisfaction. Everything that comes out of the field of grace satisfies. Now let's look at the Word of God tonight. Verse number 14, would you? Look it with me. This is not one of our text verses, but we're going to go back and get some of them. He said in verse 14, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. Amen. And she sat beside the reapers. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was, what's that little word? Sufficed. And left. What does that word suffice mean? Satisfied. She got all she wanted. She got all she needed. She didn't want nothing else. Amen. She didn't go away hungry. She didn't go away wanting something else. Amen. She got all she needed and all, not only she what she needed, but she got all that she wanted. When you're sufficed, that means you've got all you want. Somebody said, well, God will take care of our needs. Amen. God said He'll supply all our needs according to His what? Riches in glory. But hey, if God gives you all the riches of glory down in your soul, I'll guarantee you that while you'll be content with it. You'll be satisfied with what God gives. Amen. Now read this again with me. In verse number 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was what? Sufficed. Amen. Now what it means is she had some left over. Now if you look at this a little bit in verse number 17, that last little sentence of that verse says, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now that, according to what I've figured out and what some of them has come up with and according to the calculations, it's somewhere around 25 pounds. That's more than enough. Now they went to the field in those days to glean to get enough to do one day. But she came back with enough to do all day and the next day and the next day and for about a week's worth. Can you just look at this tonight? She went to the field and she was trying to glean enough just to get a meal. But after she had done eating at the table and sufficed and didn't have no need for anything else, no want for anything else, she went down to Naomi, and she gave Naomi some. And looking at this night, after she'd done got all she needed, she still had enough left over. Hey, I'm telling you, when you get in God's field and stay there, get dedicated and consecrated and start gleaning where God wants you to glean and digging in the Word of God. And beloved, that's where we're missing the mark in America. We're missing the mark. I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about the White House. I'm not talking about the governor. I'm not talking about the worldly crowd. I'm talking about where the church is missing the mark. It's not we're not gleaning in the field of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not studying our Bible and praying like we ought to pray. If we did, we'd be better off. Amen. I know I'm preaching the truth. Now listen to me. She continued there. And I noticed this, and as she was sufficed. Notice the Bible said two things about her here in particular. The Bible said that she did it all day. Can you see that? She gleaned. And she gleaned. Look in this in verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even. What's that mean? Time the sun is going down. She gleaned all day long. She stayed in the field all day long working. Not only did she stay in the field all day long, but look at what it says in verse number 21. She had a promise. We'll talk about that in a minute. He had promised that have ended, and said that they have ended all my harvest. But look in verse 23. The Bible says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto what? The end of the barley harvest. God wants us to glean all day in His field, and He wants us to continue until it's over. Until the harvest is over. That means until Jesus comes. Would you see that tonight? Now we'll see that we'll find out the field of grace that she got enough to be satisfied with. Number two, in verse number 18 we find something. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw. And her mother-in-law saw. You see that? And her mother-in-law saw. Underline that little word in your Bible. She saw. Amen. In that field of grace, Ruth has been gleaning in. She got enough not only to satisfy her, but she got enough to demonstrate to the world that she had got something. Amen. It's pitiful. Our church folks today, they don't even have enough demonstration that they even been to Calvary. You go down in a public place, and they'll tell you they go to such and such a church. But brother, the glory of God and the beaming glory of God don't radiate on their face, and they don't talk about Jesus. They're talking about the world. They're talking about the cars. They're talking about their jobs. They're talking about their dogs. They're talking about their cats. They're talking about everything to God under the sun. But they're not talking about Jesus. You're not demonstrating what God has given you. You know why? You're not too deep in the field. You're not gleaning in the field close enough. I believe that tonight. I believe tonight that we are living testimonies. Amen. I believe everywhere I go that I'm demonstrating either I have the grace of God or I'm demonstrating I don't have it. Wherever I go, I don't have to put a sign on my back saying, hey, I'm a child of the King. I don't have to do that, brother. They can tell by the way I talk and the way I walk and the way I live. When I got an old bad attitude, brother, I'm demonstrating something wrong. It's not the grace out of the field of God. Amen? When I got the joy, the glory drops dripping off my chin and praise God and the joy of God flowing in my soul, they know there's something special about me. And they know there's something special about you. Amen. That's right. That's right. I'll tell you right now. Well, you know what? It's going to take something. I got a phone call yesterday and somebody was speaking to me. We was talking for a while. And this lady was on there. She's from California. And she spoke a long time. And she said, preacher, she said, I was just about an atheist. Said, I didn't believe nothing. Hardly nothing. But said, I got saved. Said, it's because somebody began to talk to me about Jesus. And said, they had a King James Bible. And said, they talked to me about the King James Bible. And said, they said everything else is a perversion. And said, I finally found out that they was telling the truth. And said, I got born again and saved by the grace of God. And I've been trying to tell everybody else that though everything but a King James Bible is a perversion. She said, I've been doing it. And she said, I've been working with this couple. She said, I've been dealing with this family. And said, they've taken everything under the sun. And she said, I've been trying to get them to believe that the King James Bible is a preserved Word of God. And it's the real Word of God. And she said, I'd go every week and I'd witness to them. I'd go every week and I'd have a Bible study with them. I'd go every week and I'd get my Bible out and study with them. I'd go every week, week after week, went several weeks. And said, I just come to the conclusion they're not going to accept it. They're not going to believe me. So she said, I just backed off. Said, matter of fact, something come up and I couldn't go for 2 weeks. And she said, I finally decided to go back down there. And said, when I went back down there, said they met me at the door smiling. Said, hey, we know that this King James Bible is the right word. She said, how in the world did you find that out? They said, well, said, you know what? Said, all the stuff you took, they didn't. Said, she said, they didn't even give me no credit for it. She said, I don't care. She said, I don't care about that. But she said, what happened is, he wrote some kind of little something. And when he did, he put it in, I don't know where he published it or where he put it out, but some of his family members got a hold of it and changed one word in it. And that one word changed the whole entire meaning. He said, I didn't say that. You changed that word. That word is not what I said. And he said, you know, it dawned on me. If you can take one word and change what I say, and it makes it mean different, he said, then you can change one word in the Bible, and it be different. He said, I'm going to the King James Bible then. I'm going to stay with it. I said, thank God. I'll tell you what, tonight, we need some folks to keep on doing that. She's been in the field gleaning, and she's just give up. Saints of God, let me tell you something. We've got to keep on going with this thing. Our blessings were supposed to show whether we've got what we've got or what we say we've got. And it's going to tell the story. You can say you're saved by the grace of God. You can say that you're born again. You can say you're filled with the Lord. You can say that you're walking for God. You can say you're walking with God. But I'll tell you, until that world out there sees that you've been walking with Jesus, they'll never change their attitude towards you, nor toward the Word, nor toward the church. They find church members sitting on the pew and they go to church every time the doors open and go out the door and they're cussing like a sailor, telling old dirty jokes and going in the wrong places and doing the wrong things. I'll tell you right now, that's a bad testimony. It's not coming out of the field of grace, but here Ruth is. She's been in the field and she's gone out saying, hey, look, here it is. Naomi, I've been a-gleaning all day. Now, Naomi could have said, now, I don't know whether you have or not. She didn't have to say that. You know why? Because Ruth took it off her back and threw it down on the table and said, here it is. Amen. Proof is in the pudding tonight. And she showed that she had been in the field of grace. Number three. Some other things about Ruth. Number three. She not only had something satisfied and something that she could demonstrate with, but she had something out of that field that she could share. Look at verse number 18.
Bible said, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, now notice this, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was surprised. She had something to give. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know what's happened? We're cool and calm and collected. We're as dead as we can be. Brother, we ain't got nothing to share with the world. Because we're not doing our job. We're not getting what we need from the throne of God. Hey, if God in heaven can supply you with all your needs, you believe that, don't you? Then why don't you find out why He's not doing that tonight? Why don't you find out why He's not filling you up and running you over and bubbling over your soul? Why don't you go find out tonight why in the world God's not pouring the blessings on you, opening the windows of heaven? Just, you know, most folks, here's what to do. Praise God, I got saved. Praise God, I got saved. Where's the windows of heaven? I'm waiting on God. It don't work that way. Amen. You know why Ruth brought some barley and dumped it down on the table in front of Naomi? She wasn't sitting on the side of the field over there. I'm here. She wasn't sitting down there beside the road and hoping it'd fall out of heaven in her arms. She went down and went to work. She worked to even. She went over picking it up and pulling it up and she crushing it out and getting the barley. She was doing what she's supposed to do. She gleaned and she found what she needed. She worked and she worked and she worked and she worked and she toiled and she worked. She sweat a little, picked up a little, and toiled some more. Amen. Every once in a while she put a little bit more in the sack. Amen. Does she come home? She worked hard. Now you know why tonight you don't know too much about the Bible? Amen. You've laid it on the coffee table too long. Amen. Now I want to give you this tonight, and I mean this, and I'm not trying to be mean. Seems like we get a book like this. This is just a good opportunity for us to open up the Word of God and be able to get on some things that sometimes we don't even think about, you know. And here it is. The reason God blesses some more than He does others is not because God loves one more than He loves another, but it's because they're blessable. Amen. That might not be a good word. But anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this. If you've got five youngins, God help us for that, but five youngins, and you've got five children, and they're all teenagers. Now, boy, that is a house full for sure. If there's anything that's hard to deal with, it's teenagers. I know about it. Amen. They're not so good. I see these little bitty boys and girls. I see these little girls with these little pigtails. And they're just so sweet looking. You just want to take them up in your arms, just squeeze them. Amen. And you see these little boys step out there and they look like a little dude a little He-Man. And you just want to pick him up in your arms and squirt him up real good and say, oh, ain't he so sweet? But I look at them and I say, whoo, they're going to grow up. Amen. They're about like cats and dogs, little puppies and little kittens are precious and pretty and sweet. But they all make cats and dogs. And they ain't so sweet then. And so I'm not knocking you young folks. They're just something in you. They're just something in you. If you ain't got it, you're going to get it. And you better fight it now. And there's going to be a time in your life you're going to grow up and you're going to think that you're going to know more than the preacher. You're going to think you're going to know more than mama. You're going to think you know more than daddy. You're going to think you know more than grandma and grandpa. You're going to think you know more than the teacher down at the schoolhouse. You're going to think that you know more than the president. Well, let's back up on it. Amen. You're going to think you're going to know a lot of things. Hear me? You're going to think tonight that you gained something. But you might as well realize tonight that you don't know. And I'm not trying to bust your bubble. I'm just going to plain out do it. Amen. Not trying, I'm going, listen, you don't know. You don't know. I didn't know when I was a teenager. Your mom and daddy didn't know when I was a teenager. Now, I know I was a teenager. Don't you take my context out. Amen. Look. But I didn't know when I was a teenager that I thought I was grown. It's amazing how much when I got about 25 and a bunch of kids in the house, amen, and I was having to make a living, it's amazing how much my daddy had grown up and learned in just a few short years. Amen. What happened is I realized what life was about. But I'm trying to tell you this. The reason that Ruth was blessed is not because... Of course, you look in here and you find out that, Boaz did have a liking to her. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. There is some things in there that we can see that Boaz was pulled to her. But why was that? Simply because she was doing what she's supposed to be doing. She was in the field gleaning. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. You stay in the field with God and He'll bless you. Now, I'll say that, you know why she got it? She gleaned and she got. You don't glean, you don't get. God said in His Bible, man that don't work, what? Don't eat. Amen. Now, let me show you something what the Bible says. Look at Matthew, please. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, give you this scripture. Chapter 16, verse number 24. Now look at this scripture, look at it very carefully as we look at it. Matthew 16, 24. It said, then said Jesus. Now who said it? Who's Jesus? Son of God. Amen. This wasn't the Pope. This wasn't the preacher. It's Jesus. Then said Jesus unto His disciples. Who's His disciples? The ones He taught. That's the taught ones. There's 12 of them. But now you're disciples of the Lord too in another sense. He said, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man, would that include you? Yes, you said it's masculine gender. Don't matter. Amen. When God speaks in this phrase here, if any man, He's talking about every man and every woman, every boy and every girl. If any man will come after Me, I want you to notice the next four words and underline them and mark them in your Bible. Be sure and keep them. Let him what? Deny who? Himself. What He's saying to you is, it don't matter what you want. The Lord said, if anybody's going to follow Me, come after Me. He said here, if any man will come after Me, He didn't say you should, didn't say you ought to. He said, let him deny himself. In other words, it's not what you want to do. Now, she gleaned and she got. You don't glean, you no get. Is that right? Goes with that scripture we just quoted a while ago. Don't work, you don't eat. Now the reason you're not being blessed and the blessings of God, and I say this and I've been talking about it quite some time and I talk about it everywhere. We're living in the most, I guess, spiritual ignorance time of our lives. People that have been in church for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years, it's amazing to me that people that are way up in years do not know much about the Bible. Just had somebody to say this week that there's witnesses to people and talking to them, and they're asking questions that I suppose you would think teenagers and young people would know how to answer. And they've been in this world for a long time and don't know much about the Bible at all. They have not been gleaning. If they've even been saved, they're not been gleaning. But you see, there's more to it than just being born again and sitting on the sideline and waiting for God to bless you. You can't wait on God to bless you. You've got to get it to place and be blessed. Now let's go back to our little story. You thought I'd forgot them five youngins. All right, I got one over here of them five youngins. And I say, pick up that piece of paper. They just get up and go right over and pick it up. I say to another, clean your room up. They get the room cleaned up. And I say to another, now I want you to take out the trash. And they go like this. Do I have to? Can't I wait? Well, John didn't take it out. It's his turn. You see what I'm talking about? You come to another and he says, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Amen. So you have to get a little tough. And you get a little, of course, in this modern day, you get too tough, you really get, boy. I'm glad I'm not raising youngins today. I'd be in jail. And so anyhow, you go on to all five of them, you give them something to do, and every time you look at it, says, I want you to take the trash out then. Of course, that's bad, amen. I would want the same one I asked for the first time to take it out, or he wouldn't be able to sit for a day or two. But anyhow, you ask this over here, to take, and you take it out. Every time you ask this particular one to do anything, they do it. Now, who are you going to feel good when you're out there dipping out five scoops of ice cream out of the box to put in a little... Which one you feel like giving ice cream to the most? If you're not careful, you know what you're liable to do? You'll give this one over here just enough to get him by, and this enough just to get him by, and this right here won't hard to get nobody. And this little one over here's got a scoop, two scoops, and then over there saying, he got more than I've got. Ain't that what they do? She got 10 M&Ms and I didn't get but 9. Actually, I got 9.5. One of them's crushed. You understand what I'm saying? That's the same way churchmen. I can't understand why so-and-so, they're blessed every time we come to church. They're right in the limelight every time. You know why? They're more blessable. Amen. Now, we got a lot of talent in this church. And you say, well, I want you to...
I don't want to tonight.
And you go over there, well, why don't you get... No, not tonight. Can't. And you say, well, why don't you... Yes, sir, I'll do it. Now, guess who you're going to be prone to call on? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, Ruth, she's down in the field. She's working away. Well, I'll tell you what, laziness will never get you blessed. God will not honor laziness. He will not honor it. Amen. Now, I'm going to get into some little areas here and meddle just a little bit. I'm not mad at nobody, not picking on nobody, but I am your preacher, and if I don't tell you, nobody else will. And I know sometimes it feels like that I love to do these things, but I don't. Do you know what? We'll go to the house, always so tired, and we'll pick up the newspaper, if we get the newspaper. That's the community gossip columns. Amen. And we sit there and we read it from one side to the other. We read stuff, and I've always noticed when I pick up a newspaper, I read junk, and I thought, well, I don't care about that, but I read it anyhow. Now, I know good and well some of y'all read some things in the paper that you're not really interested in, you're just reading it. Matter of fact, don't make good sense to you, some of it, and you look at it and say, well, and you read the paper for 30, 40 minutes, and you say, well, I got to do my Bible reading. You read your Bible about 10 minutes. Said, I got my Bible read now, I think I'll go to bed. I pray the next time you pick up a newspaper and you look it over and you spend whatever time it is, I pray if you don't double that before your Bible, I pray the Holy Ghost get all over you and convict you. And I pray you can't sleep all night long. Well, we'll turn that little old TV, I started to say turn that knob, that's what I used to say. Now they go, remoter. And they'll turn that little remote on and they sit there and kick back that chair and we'll watch something for 2 hours, 3 hours, and 4 hours. And then take our Bible and study it and read it. Well, we don't study. You can't study when you're doing that. That's the reason you don't know much about your Bible, but you can read it. You won't know what you read. Now, you know how come I can preach this? Because I've been guilty of it down through the years. I know from personal experience what it'll do for you. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know what tonight is for you on your schedule. I don't know what your favorite programs are, but some of you got special programs on Monday night. You got another special program on Tuesday night. Some of you got another special program on Wednesday night and another on Thursday and something else on Friday and on Saturday. And there's something every day just about it in the life of some if you're so hooked up to that thing. Amen. Now, I know I'm telling the truth. And you can't hardly wait. Your day is rough. It's amazing to me how you had a tough day all day long and everything went haywire and wrong. But for that little space of time, whether it be 30 minutes, 40, well, 30 minutes or an hour and a half or 2 hours, I'll guarantee you, you don't want the dog to bark, the wife to speak, or the kids to move. That's your special time. I pray you get hooked up like that. Don't get the place. I pray the Holy Ghost gets all over you if you don't spend more time in your Bible than you do on the television, brother. Something's wrong. You'll find out the more you get in your Bible, the less you'll have use for the television. I read a little article. It said back in the 1940s, the television just started getting out, you know, and getting going. And that was when everything was black and white. And everybody had them little things, the little things stuck up in the air, little rabbit ears and tin. You go in their home and they'd have tin foil twisted all over them. And some of them had ladders on the side of their house where they'd get up and turn the antenna for the Saturday night fight. Because you couldn't, and then they'd get back down, and then on Monday night they had to turn it around another place to get their favorite program. Y'all remember them days? They sat back in the 40s then. What they done? They started designing something. Two things they done. The devil knows this now. They wanted to get up something to get somebody's attention. And they had to have something to pull the whole crowd. So what they done is they invented what they call soap operas for the women. I used to work on men too. But I used to work on the public job. And them ladies would rotate their lunch. One would go at 11 to 12. One would go from 12 to 1. And then one would go from 1 to 2. So that they could come back and report on what was going on with the soap operas. And then they said in the 40s too, that's when they started producing football and all the sports to get the men. It's amazing to me how men can set, and ladies, you too, can set what? What is a football? How many minutes actually is a football supposed to take? No. How much is a quarter? 15 minutes. Now that is what? 1 hour. But isn't it amazing they can sit 4 hours from 3 to 4 hours watching one game? What if I hemmed you up in here and preached to you for 4 hours? You said, well, if you get the chicken snacks out, we might. You understand what I'm saying? And all that's to get our attention. Now you say, preacher, you're really rough on us. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to the place tonight. If you want to be like Ruth and be blessed and have the blessing of God on you, you're going to have to spend some time in the Word of God, and you're going to have to deny yourself some of that junk so that you can call on God. You said, but preacher, I tell you what, I'd rather watch a ball game. Now I got quiet then, like it ain't so in your life. I know it is. It is easier to watch a ball game. It is more fun to watch Hopple on Cassidy. You understand what I'm saying? It is more fun. Why? Because the flesh desires that. But the spiritual man, you're starving him to death, and we don't know the Bible, and we wonder why we don't have the blessings of God. And we wonder why our world's going to hell and our kids don't even have no respect for us no more. Amen. I mean, I preach this and I'm not mad at all, you know. I'm just telling the truth. And I preach it because I regret the hours and the days and the years in my life that I spent doing exactly what I preach tonight. I regret it. I would to God I could go back younger, start all over. You have to study the Bible. And your Bible, and I'm saying this tonight, time's going to catch us. I'm saying this tonight. Your Bible needs to become as exciting and as thrilling and as enjoyable as sitting down and reading the paper, watching the movies, and all the other stuff that we get involved in. You little boys and girls, I wasn't raised with this, but our new day, kids got some of the best hands in the world. I don't know how in the world they can take a cell phone, drive down the road, and they're doing this number. And they can text and drive. I tried texting a time or two, and I'm going over and going, no, can't get it on. And I thought, it's easy for me just to dial their number and say, hello? I've dealt with computers for years. And I've seen them do this, and when I've tried to help somebody with computers, they'll say, I need my computer. It's not working. It's not working. Something's wrong with it. And I try to find out what's wrong with it, and they've hit the wrong buttons. That's basically what most people do. Hit the wrong buttons and something. I got the habit, preacher. I got the habit. I mean, I got to have that thing running. And then what do you do with that thing? What do you do with your computer? Oh, every night I sit and play games. Computers. They're made to work for you. You sit there playing games. I'm not against having games. Sometimes you need some little time to kind of... And sometimes I do things that kind of occupy my mind for a little bit to get me out of the clouds and let me just kind of relax just a little bit. Amen. It takes more relaxation for some of you. Some of you kids are playing 4 and 5 and 6 hours a day of the games. You're going to waste your life away. You're going to get so relaxed you'll never do nothing. Feller said, you got to fix Mama's computer. What's Mama do with her computer? Mama plays cards on her computer all night. Bad thing is sometimes they're telling me that Mama goes to church where I'm pastoring. And I think, oh Lord, I'm competing against a deck of cards. We might as well just get this good while we're at it. So I'd stay off of it for a while. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we see all that. And things just keep a-coming and keep a-going. And we're taking our time and spending it with those things and we're not studying the Word of God. If there's anything I'd like to challenge you with here at Bible Way Baptist Church, and that is to get in the book and study the Word of God. You say, but preacher, I don't know much about it. Can anybody in here tell me somebody that was born knowing all about it? How did they find out?
Amen. You say, well, I know because the preacher tells me, listen, that's not good enough. You ought to go home and study your Bible. I remember a time when I'd read the Bible and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. And I'd get hung up on a little verse, and I'd get hung up on another verse, and I'd read something else, and I could not understand that. And I'd get so irritated and aggravated with that, where I'd say, Lord, I just can't understand that. And just because I couldn't understand just a little portion of it, I just got to the place I didn't want to read none of it. But then God showed me, if I was to learn what that verse meant, it blew my mind. I still wouldn't have known no more than I did when I started. If God told me what that verse really meant, I'd still not know, because there's some other things that I need to know before that verse is even taught to me. And so the Word of God, we're trying to dig into deep things. I found out young converts try to learn a book of Revelation right off, right up the, on the front of the... They want to stand right up front and know what Revelation means. They want to study those books like Daniel and get all the prophecy. Hey, prophecy is not your problem when you got saved. Just saved. You need to learn something about the doctrines of the Word of God. And you need to learn some things about Jesus, about God, about the Bible, and some things about the Spirit of God, and on and on and on. And then you get to look at them, and it's amazing. And I'm so amazed now. I go in my study and I read it, and I look at that and I say, oh Lord, there's that verse. There's that verse that I've had trouble with all these years. And the Lord said, just read it. And I read it. I said, I didn't see that word before. And the Lord said, give me a scripture. Go to. I said, oh. Huh. And I turned and looked at that scripture, looked back at it and I said, huh. And the Lord said, what about this? And I start looking for another verse. Maybe I can think just a little bit of it because I've read it so much. And I get my little concordance out and I start putting them little words in. And I look at it and I pull that verse up and I said, oh, glory to God. I mean, the Lord just opened up a keg of honey here. And I get a hold of that, and the next thing I know, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And brother, I'm telling you what, I'm swimming in the midst of some of the glory of God. And I get there and I say, oh, I can't hardly wait to preach this. I can't hardly wait to preach this. And I put my Bible under my arm and I come up here and I rear back and let you have it. When I learn it, I give it to you. Hey, I want to tell you something. We don't know the Bible. We've got to study it and learn it. But I want to stay in the field. Let me give you the rest of this, because I won't get back to preach on this, no doubt. Naomi, she was overwhelmed by what she saw through Ruth. I want to know enough about God and His work and be in the grace field long enough to and strong enough that somebody's going to get overwhelmed by something I can teach them and tell them. Some preacher, I can't help nobody. There you are. There you are. Quit your whining. And go to dining. Open your Bible up and go to studying. You don't know it now, but you can know it. Preacher, I'm so stupid I can't. Oh, come off that. You got up this morning. They might have had to drag you out of bed, but you got up. I notice you got your clothes on, so you know a little bit of something. Amen. I read over in the Word of God where it said these are just ignorant, unlearned men. Little old fisher boys, they didn't know nothing but catching fish. And they went out preaching the gospel. Hey, did you know... I want to bust your bubble. Did you know when you come in this world you couldn't write? Now some of us can't write much now, but I mean, we can write better. Did you know when you come in this world you could not say your ABCs? I mean, when you come in this world all you know is crying. You didn't even know what them ugly looking dudes looking down over you was even saying. They'd tell you at night, shut up and go to sleep, and you just look at them, again, you know, what's these crazy idiots talking about? Seriously. You had to learn it. Hey, isn't it amazing?
I don't reckon I found an oddball in here. But when you come into this world, you didn't start walking. All you done is roll around. You couldn't even roll around. You had to be moved. You didn't even know how to take care of your heartburn. They had to put you on the shoulder and pat you on the back. And then they stand you up and said, "Come on, come on." And I don't know about you. I wasn't there when it happened to you, and I was there, but I don't remember what I done. But I know this one thing. Surely when I took the first step, I done a lot of all the other kids done. Thought I done something. Woo! Boy, look here, I have accomplished. I've taken a step. And you thought everybody's going to applaud you and shake your head, and they took pictures of it, bragged about it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have to learn how to walk for Jesus. We have to study. We have to stay with it. We can't just, "Lord, here I am. Dump it on me. You throw it on me and I'll do it." No, you do it and then God puts it on you. I'm living by faith. But faith makes you step out. Abraham went out seeking a country whose builder and maker was God, or a city. Did he not? Noah prepared an ark by faith. Naomi was overwhelmed. Boaz was interested in Ruth. Jesus is interested in you. Boaz not only was interested, but when Ruth got interested in Boaz, in his field, then Boaz got involved. You want God to get involved in your life? Get interested in Him. God teaches that in your marriages. Amen. Fellas, you don't know you was hoodwinked. When she done picked you out, she looked at you and said, "That's the one." You didn't even know it. You're so stupid you couldn't understand it. But she got interested in you, and then you got interested in her, and the next thing you know, you got involved. And then that Naomi was able to, Ruth was able to help a backslidden woman come back to God. Ruth, since she got in the fields and got in grace and brought all that home, it changed the outlook of Naomi. She's already over there. I'm going to give you this. Verse 21 and 22, 20 and 21, chapter 1. She said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. I'm bitter." She said, "I went out full, but I come back empty." And she was down in the mouth. But you don't find it the second chapter on where she's down in the mouth anymore. She's got encouraged. Why? Because Ruth just come out of the field of grace and give her something. Ladies and gentlemen, this world tonight needs you. This world needs me. I can help somebody. I can probably help somebody you can't help. But on that token, you can help people I can't help. I have people that I come in contact with that you don't come in contact with. You see people every day that I don't see. And I see people you don't see. And while I'm in one side of the field working, I can help them and you can help the others. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying we need to get as full of God as we can in the field. Get learned up and taught up. And build up in the faith. That we be. I want to be a help. I see these ladies come and work and they're so faithful and I appreciate that. And they put these papers together, these sheets and them books. And these men work and put all these books and stuff together. Every little thing you do, it don't make no difference what you think it is. It's important. We don't just have something to do.
Everything's got a purpose for it. And it has to be done. And when we do that, I'm doing it and want to do it because we're just gleaning in the fields and trying to help somebody. If I can't talk to them, I'll give them something to read and help them. We've got a good setup. And I thank God for it. And we've got a good opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just glean together. All I know to do is pick up what I can in the field. You pick up what you can in the field. And let's share it as Ruth did with one another. And we all grow in grace together. And we'll try to win a world that's lost without God. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. About preaching myself under conviction, but what about it tonight? I want to be a gleaner like I have not. I mean, I want to be a gleaner tonight like I never have been. I want to be a gleaner in the field of God. And we talked about gleaning one other night, but I want to be a help. I want to be a help to you. I want to be a pastor that can help you. I want to be a preacher that can help. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a guide, a leader that can help you. And you'd help me while I help you. And we can work together. Oh, it's a blessing to have a crowd tonight that loves God. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to love Him more, don't you? I have a desire to know more about Him tonight. Let's stand. While they play, maybe you need to come to the altar. Just come on.